Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful spring day. And sunshine. It's not spring yet, but it sure feels like it. It's a balmy 25 degrees outside, which is a lot warmer than it has been. So we'll take it. We will take it. The Lord is gracious and merciful. So merciful and kind. And I want to read a psalm to you. It's Psalm 145, and we sang, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised," and that's one of the verses in here. And, you know, He is to be praised. His greatness is far beyond what my imagination is. So I'm going to read this David's Psalm of Praise. "I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name. Forever and ever." The Lord is so, you know, overwhelms me sometimes when I think about the Lord and all the benefits that He's given to me, the things that He has done for me. And I praise Him for that. It says in here that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. I know that my flesh comes against me all the time and tells me that I'm no good, I'm nothing, and that's great. I am nothing. But the Lord overcomes all that. It doesn't matter. The flesh doesn't matter. And I read something in James this week. In James 1. And it's about, again, the Lord doing things for us and giving us everything that we don't deserve. But if we look to Him, He gives it to us. James chapter 1. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've been thinking about the double-minded man this week, and the double-minded man is one that has his eyes on the flesh and on the things of this world and wavers back and forth between the things of God and what the Lord would have us do, and not in taking our eyes off him to other things. And that's a double-minded man. And it says in verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Doesn't mean the Lord didn't give him those things. The Lord gave him all those things. He gave him wisdom if he asked for it. He gives liberally, it says, to all men. And that's not restraining anything. But if that double-minded man asks for something and he's not looking solely to the Lord, he's not going to be able to receive what the Lord has for him. We need to receive that which he has for us. He gives it to us liberally all the day long. And our job is to receive it. Now, for me, that's been a difficult thing over the years. And I know that receiving is an important part of being in the walk of a Christian, because if you don't receive what the Lord has for you, you don't have anything. You don't have it. But he's given it to you. I have to work on that one, and I know that the Lord will bring me through, because he promises that he gives to us if we'll receive. And that is my goal. Thank you for listening.
Well, thanks, Karen. Now, in order to receive those things, I mean, we see in the scripture where the Lord gives more grace to the humble, and he resists the proud, right? Let's look at the pride side first. I mean, if you're double-minded, I suspect that you've got this element of pride where you think that, you know, you kind of know how to do it. You got this all figured out. You understand what's going on. And you're substituting your mind for that mind of Christ that he's freely given to us. When you look at humility, the definition of the word humility is that it consists in the lowness, the lowliness of mind. It's a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, patience, or penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. And we see that that's the exact opposite of pride. So if we want to receive all these things that the Lord has for us, we have to walk with humility. We have to be humble. And that's not a comfortable thing. This week, I've been humiliated. And for those of you that don't know, humiliation is sort of the root word of humble, or humble is the root word of humiliation. I mean, what it comes down to is, on a few tasks that I had been assigned, I mean, it got to the point where I felt as though, and I do, and it's right, I could do nothing. That any person off the street walking in and picking up this task would do better than me. I mean, a task that in my mind thought, geez, you know, I can get this done in an afternoon, you know, 2-3 hours. It took me 5 days. And why is that? But I was praying about it. And one of the things that, you know, I sort of likened it to is kind of a hamster on a wheel. You know, I'm on this wheel, and I got this piece of food or this carrot out in front of me, and I'm running on this wheel, and I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm trying to get there, and I'm trying to get there, and I just can't get there, and I'm getting frustrated, and I just can't do it, and I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going. And no matter how fast I run, I don't get any closer to that carrot. And it wasn't until I realized that I could just stop and step off that wheel. And if I got off that wheel, the Lord was there with me. And you say, look, all you got to do is walk around here and you can go pick up that carrot. And He took my hand and He showed me the way out. But I had to run on that wheel until I was completely exhausted and humiliated and humbled before I just allowed myself to say, look, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Help me, Lord. Just help me. I can't do it. And there He was. And that's what walking by faith is. Knowing that you can lean on Him and trust Him. Knowing that He's there for you. Let's go over to Luke. Let's see here. Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And, I mean, we see there, I mean, that Pharisee, he felt like he was something. He felt like he had done something, could do something. He had confidence. He knew. He was righteous. But we see this publican. And this guy, I mean, he wouldn't even raise his eyes to the heavens. Because when he compared himself to God, he saw that he was just unworthy. And just not good. Now, if we're going to be humble, if we're going to walk in humility, it ain't going to feel good. And you know, I've heard people preach this before. I've heard Steve, you know, say, you know, it ain't easy and people aren't going to like you and it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to feel good. I think I've heard Charlie say it. I've heard lots and lots and lots of people say it, but until you live it, you don't know. So I find myself here talking about it, and I know that, you know, if you haven't experienced this, I mean, hearing me say it, hopefully, you know, gives you warning that you can recognize it when it comes. Because you find yourself in a place, in my experience, I mean, it is just so horrific. I mean, you don't want to get up in the morning because you know that you are just going to, you're going to look like an idiot. So you have two choices. This is what it came down to for me. You can curl up into a ball and you can cry in the corner and just sit there and wallow in your own misery. Or you can turn into it and you can fight through it if you lean on Him. Now, it took me 4 days of crying in that ball in that corner and, you know, dreading, you know, every aspect of this. But, you know, finally when I sought Him and turned into it, it worked. It was done. I don't feel as though, you know, if I had the same situation in front of me, I don't have confidence that I can do it, but I have confidence that He can. I know that if I, when the task comes to me, if I seek Him first, that I can then get through this. And I think that that's where we all need to be. Here's Charlie.
Thank you, Scott. As Karen said, it seems like it's a beautiful spring day. We set back the clocks today or whatever, forward, I don't know what it is, spring forward. Boy, and I tell you what, you know, being from Arizona, I didn't know what daylight savings is, but I really wish that we really didn't have it, because it's tough this time of year, you know, getting up. I know that one thing that we, you know, we've been talking about really over the last while is walking by faith and, you know, living in faith and learning how to fight. And, you know, part of that I know where it comes down to is it also comes down to hearing His voice. And I know that kind of in my mind, so to speak, or in my, you know, when you say you hear the Lord's voice or something like that, you know, you always think of like not the Sermon on the Mount, the Transfiguration on the Mount. There was a voice from heaven, and, you know, everyone heard, or, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, or when Paul was converted and you heard this big voice and, you know, everyone fell down and that sort of thing. But I think part of the issue that we're learning to do, too, is we need to learn to hear His voice. And give you an example of something recently was that, I think it was brought up on Tuesday night. I don't quite recall exactly. But it was about John Van Dorum and Steve. You know, John wanted to speak to Steve. The Lord quickened to Steve that he needed to call John, so he picked up the phone and he talked to him. Okay, that was an example of Steve hearing the Lord's voice to do what He wants to do. And I know for us, that's really where we have to be. You know, we talk about, you know, we talk about like a horse or, you know, being able to be led easily. Okay, you know, to hear His voice is not one where we're going to sit there and necessarily hear, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, or, you know, the Paul experience. A lot of times that voice that we're going to hear is a small voice. And so I'd like to go to 1 Kings 19. And, you know, I'm going to start at 9. So 1 Kings 19, 9. Now, this is the story to put in context. This is the story when Elijah fled from Jezebel and from Ahab. Okay, he went out into the wilderness. And part of this journey of going into the wilderness was for him to really learn the Lord, to perfect him in learning the ways of the Lord. So, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, I don't know how this word came to him. It wasn't expounded upon in this particular case. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets, and with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rented the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, the point I wanted to get to here was the still, small voice. Now, I don't know about you, and I wish I could have not had this testimony of myself. There are countless times I know I've heard the Lord, or I've heard the Lord tell me to do something, or I've heard something, and I knew it was of the Lord. And I will say that, you know, there are, unfortunately, a lot of times I chose not to do it. You know, oh, that's not the Lord. Yeah, why would he have me do that? Now, there was an example that I would like to bring up, and, you know, it's been coming to me recently, so I think the Lord wants me to bring it up. You know, David talks about something that he had to do. It's part about walking by faith. And part of that, and hopefully this will make sense to you. There's a story that he talks about where the Lord sends him into the ocean. He sends him to the edge of the ocean. He has a rope. He says, the Lord says, throw the rope, walk out to the end of the rope. So he walked out to the end of the rope, and, you know, the water was at his ankles. He said, throw it out again. He threw out the rope again. It was up to his waist. He threw it out again. It went up to his neck, so on and so forth. And eventually he was at that point where he said, throw it out again. And he said, Lord, but then I'll be over my head. And so what happened is he threw the rope out, and immediately as he took that final step, the Lord lifted him up upon the water. Okay, because it was only at that point that he learned to walk by faith. Now, I know when I was a young Christian, I was a Christian like 18 months. I was in the military, and the Lord taught me this lesson. And it's something that's really always been with me after I learned it. I was in the military. I was at Fort Sam Houston, and I don't know if you've ever been to San Antonio. San Antonio, Fort Sam Houston is surrounded by the barrio, I guess would be a way to say it, okay? It's a rough neighborhood around Fort Sam Houston. And so anyway, I went to church one night. They had this little seminar on something. I said, oh, that looks really interesting. And it was in downtown San Antonio. And from downtown San Antonio into Fort Sam Houston was really quite a way. And it was at night, and I had a curfew, and I had all these sort of things. And, of course, as a private, I had to wear my uniform. You were required to wear your uniform for the first so many weeks that you were there if you ever went off post. So anyway, I went to this little seminar thing. And, you know, like a church typically does, they pass a basket. Now, as a private, I didn't have a lot of money. You know, I had a couple dollars on me, and I was thinking, okay, you know, all right, I got $2 or $3 or whatever it was, and okay, I need $1.50 for the bus ride. So, anyway, they're passing the basket to me, and I'm like, you know, okay, well, and the Lord says, give it all. I'm like, Lord, I only have $3. Okay, I mean, I need $1.50 for the bus ride. How am I going to get home? He said, give it all. Oh, man, how am I going to get home? And, you know, and like I said, to try to go from downtown to Fort Sam Houston, I don't know how far it was, and I don't know if I even knew the way. I don't know how it was, but I had to go through a really rough neighborhood. And so I'm sitting there. Oh, okay. I gave them all $3 or whatever I had in my pocket. Now, the point on that was, it was a still small voice to me. It was like, give it all. Give everything you have. And I'm like, okay, Lord. So I gave him $3 or whatever it was. And needless to say, the rest of the little thing that we're talking about really didn't make any difference to me at that point, because I was just kind of shaking, you know, wondering how I was going to get home. Because I had a curfew, and I had to, you know, I was, you know, had a big target on my sign saying I'm stupid because I'm in the private in the Army type of thing. I guess that's still a prize, actually. So anyway, we got done with this thing, and I said, well, okay, I got to get out. I'm going to get home. So I go down downtown San Antonio, and I get out there, and I stick out my thumb, and I start hitchhiking. I mean, what else am I going to do? I didn't know how to get home. I didn't know where I was at, necessarily, and I particularly didn't want to walk through this neighborhood that I had walked through once before. And the time I walked through that once before, I had a guy who came out and tried to con me to drag me into a bar to, you know, probably beat the living daylights out of me and rob me or something. So, you know, it's at night, you know, 9 o'clock at night or whatever it was. And so I'm sitting here and I said, okay, Lord, I'll go and hitchhike. I set out hitchhiked. And I don't know how long I was there, but a guy came up, drove up, and he had like a 5-year-old boy in the car. And he goes, get in. And he says, I'll take you home. And so I still kind of like shaking and stuff like this, you know. Had a little kid, so I figured it was probably pretty safe. And so anyway, what happened is he drove me all the way to the barracks, and he dropped me off in front of the barracks. And, you know, I look back at that, and it was one of those things where you can't fully trust the Lord until you have really no place to turn. It's kind of what Scott was talking about. You know, at that point, I had only one place to go. I had only one way to look. And it was something that the Lord taught me, a very valuable lesson as a young Christian. And I know, really, that that man was sent there solely to pick me up. And the Lord will do the same for you. You know, the Lord loves us. He cares for us. And part of what we learn, you know, one of the things that we have problems with is, you know, I've been talking to Brad, and, you know, I told him the other day, I said, Brad, you know, you really just sound like a Baptist preacher. You know, you're like fingernails on a chalkboard when you preach. You know, you don't have anything. But one thing I said you have to do when you preach the gospel is you have to preach it from the heart. You know, I can sit there and I can tell this story because it is something that comes from the heart. You know, the gospel is something that we preach from the heart. I can sit there and I can intellectualize this word of God, and I can sit there as that Pharisee who thinks he's somehow better than the guy who actually has a handle on the gospel because he has an intellectual conception of the Bible. You know, it's kind of like all these scholars and stuff who have not a clue what they read because they look at it from the wrong way. What we need to do is come to that point that when we preach the gospel, it comes from the heart. Because when it comes from the heart, you speak of that experience that we have. You know, I know previously or last week it says, you know, experience hope and hope maketh not ashamed. You know, we learn and we gain that experience that when we have to step out there and trust the Lord, when we lay it all on the line, that the Lord is going to be there to meet us to do that. And that's something we have to learn to trust. Now, I'm not saying that if you sit there and you do something on your own volition and step out and do something, that he's going to be there to meet you. Okay? Sometimes I do something so stupid, you know, he's going to let me fall on my face because it shows me that it wasn't of him. But I know that we're coming to this point where we're going to have to step out fully and trust the Lord in all that we do and all that we say. And that's something that he taught his disciples. You know, that's when we're able to fully walk in the power. You know, we can't walk in our own power. To walk in our own power is that double-minded man that Karen spoke about. It's either our heart is fully set on the Lord, or it's not. It can't be 99% on the Lord and 1% off. Because at that point, our faith is really still not purified. You know, our faith has to be purified fully and solidified on Him. And I know that where we're coming to that point is that I know we've gone through some boiling, as Scott talked about, or some trials and tribulations. But it's going to get worse. I mean, it's going to heat up. Yeah, yeah. Woohoo! A constant fight. It's going to heat up. Okay. And part of that occurs because, you know, here we have a world full of churches. And the churches don't know how to walk according to the words of the Lord. Okay. The Lord has to have a people who can walk according to the ways of His Word. Okay. My hope is to be part of that people. Okay. That's the first bus out of here. Okay. I don't want to be on the last train out of here. I want to be on the first train out of here. But part of that learning to walk is learning to throw out that rope, fully learning to hear His voice, and understanding that when it is His voice. I know in times of my life, you know, the Lord told me to do something, and I said, "Okay, Lord, you know, I'll give this example here." The Lord said, "Give away my guns." Okay, now, I don't know about you, I kind of like firearms, and I remember the Lord said, "Give them away." I mean, it was clear as day. It wasn't this still small voice. It was like, "Okay, yeah, Lord, I'll give them away." So I gave them away. I said, "Well, see, Lord, I'll do anything for her." I'm not going to go into that detail. "I'll do anything for her." And the Lord came back to me and He says, "Now, why don't you do it for me?" I mean, it was no question. You know, it was like, okay, I get the point. Okay. We have to be willing to give everything for Him because He did that for us. He did that for the Father. If we're not willing to give everything that we have, then we're hanging on to this worth. We're hanging on to our life. We're that double-minded man. And I know that I don't want to be that double-minded man. I don't want to be left behind here. You know, it's going to heat up, and this body, the Church of Philadelphia, you know, or actually His body, the Church, is going to be pulled together. But it's going to be one where, in order to be part of that body, we have to go through this. Okay. And we go through it for multiple reasons, and one of the reasons is that that body is then demonstrates to the rest of the world that it is possible in spite of what's going on around us. It is possible to serve the Lord Jesus Christ regardless of what's happening and what we see in the world around us. Because it's about serving Him. It's not about fearing what's out there. And so, let us humble ourselves and let us hear His voice. And His voice is going to come in many ways. You know, pray for the discernment to know when it's His voice so that you can hear it and you can obey. So, well, I think that's about it. God bless everyone.